Hi, I'm Weldon.
And I'm Kendall.
We are
Geeks About Gaming.
Howdy, y'all. Welcome to another episode of Geeks About Gaming. I'm Weldon.
I'm Kendall, your co-host for Geeks About Gaming and, you know, all that good stuff. This week, we're going to be talking about the usual games. what a surprise.
You don't
right,
say. Games.
Yeah,
what
video
are those?
Games specifically. I don't know, man. It's like this new hype and hip thing happening.
Yeah, it's not like they haven't been around for 30 plus longer, 40 years.
Oh my gosh. Ooh, maybe longer than that, technically.
Yeah.
But now that it's been hip for, like, I would say that amount of time, but for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Probably, what, like, 70s? Late 70s,
yeah.
I think? Yeah.
Is that the point where, like, news stations and, like, networks are picking up gaming and stuff? It's crazy, man.
Yeah, it's a interesting world we're living in right now with a lot of stuff hipping happening and new consoles are coming, Kindle.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that, so.
Nerds are becoming popular.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for better or worse.
Yes, yes.
Nerds. So, nerds.
Oh. We're going to have like a superhero where they're just a nerd.
Mm.
And but all they do is like push up their glasses, you know?
And this cape is like of the nerds candy.
That would be so dumb. They have like knee-high socks and suspenders.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, that's how he gains his power. He just opens a box of nerds and just, like, chugs it real fast. And just,
oh,
like,
yeah. Yes, it's like spinach, you know?
Fudge. We need somebody to make concept art of this. Somebody make something. If you want to make concept art, send it to us.
Dude, that would be crazy. That doesn't even make any sense.
So anyway, Kendall, what's, just lead us right into it. What topics are we talking about this week?
This week we're going to talk about some congresswoman playing games. What? New released images of a few things? Kind of crazy. Remember when PS5 was all out of stock and sold out? That's a thing that we got news about. And also a lot of Twitch drama, technically.
Yeah, I mean is there never not Twitch drama though in some form or another?
You're absolutely right. Like, I don't even know why I said it like that because there is Twitch drama every week. Whatever, that's okay. Howdy, y'all. Dude, I honestly forgot what howdy's like. What the fuck is the first letter? What does H stand for? Oh, I just here. It's here, dude. I could.
I'm trying to remember too.
I was like, weekly discovery. Yay! What the fuck is H?
Here's our weekly discovery.
I couldn't remember, Weldon.
It's fine. I couldn't remember for a second either. We kind of got rid of Yelp, didn't we? We kind of retired that.
Oh my god, we did get rid of Yelp.
Yelp.
I'm keeping this in the podcast too.
Hmm.
So people can understand that we're real people.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's our, it's just, yeah, you know, just seeing the whole thing, make us human and relatable and unique.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, here's what everyone's playing. Yay. The new Jackbox Party Pack came out. Number 7. That is right. They are on number 7. We have a third Quiplash. Who is not tired of Quiplash? Let me tell you. 2 generations, because this is the third one. We got a threequel going on, and it's actually pretty fun. Like, they changed it up. You can make your own trivia questions, which is, I think, is really cool. And then a lot more, I guess you can say, I don't know how to say this. It's like a game where, like, more interactive games during the whole game. It's instead of like typing something in and then waiting, one of the games you just type throughout the whole thing. So I think that's pretty fun.
And so is that like, I guess, like an answer to like being it more interactive with somebody streaming it?
It is. Yeah. That game is called Talking Points, and it's basically one person has an object, a person. It's like 20 questions. It's basically the Jackbox version of 20 questions, and the people in the room are trying to figure out what one person's person, place, or item is. And we just continuously type it in, and they continuously give us hints. It's really fun, for sure. I think this is a good party pack.
What else? Do we get a sequel to Robot Rap Battles, or whatever it's called?
We don't. I'm so sad about that, because that one's so good. But we have a lot of drawing ones, too. The drawing ones are so ridiculous.
What about Movie Murder Party, or Trivia Murder Party?
The only one they brought back was Quiplash.
Dang.
Yeah, Quiplash is just the undefeated champion, I guess, of the Jackbox Party Pack packs.
So then what about a little bit, because I didn't even know this came out. I didn't even know there was gonna be a new one. So like, what other kind of games and stuff they got in there then?
In the party pack?
Yeah.
Okay, so they have Quiplash, they have the one I talked about, the talking points, where you know it's basically 20 questions. They have one called Blather Round, which is oh wait. Just kidding. I'm stupid. Blather Round is the one where it's their version of 20 questions. And then Talking Points is the stupid one where it's basically blind presentations. So they put a picture up on the screen and a person has to pretend they know exactly what's happening in this photo.
What?
Yeah!
Huh?
Yeah, so they give you like a prompt, and then they give you a picture right after, and then you just have to fucking pretend that you knew what was coming up the entire time. It's like a PowerPoint presentation, but you're doing it blind. They give you talking points.
Oh, okay. At first I was very confused. I'm like, what? What's the...
What? Yeah, it's literally a PowerPoint presentation, and then you just have to be the funniest person in the room.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, at least they try very stuff up, you know?
Yeah! There's one where it's called Champed Up, and basically you draw a prompt that they tell you, and then someone else in the room, you don't know who, draws in a opposing drawing to your drawing, and then you guys basically battle it out with different other various prompts.
Wow, that's that's out now? It is out now,
yes.
And where can we get this? Was it Steam, Epic?
Yeah, you could actually get it on Steam. I don't know how much it is. Let me find out.
Okay. Yeah, I had no idea.
$4.99, I think?
That sounds about right, I feel like. Yeah. I don't know. I've never, I've played some with people on stream or played some at somebody's house, but I've never personally bought a Jack in the Box party pack.
Honestly, you don't. Yeah, it's $29.99. That's what it is. But you can get the game and the soundtrack bundle for $33.93 because it's 3% off.
I do like the soundtrack. I do like the thing. Yeah. Again, the first thing I think of when I think that is just I want to find a way. Or find out how to get the job being like the narrator for the stuff.
Oh, I know. How do you even know how to be the best, simplest
job you could possibly get. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm like, how do you even get in that job? I guess there's a casting call, but it's like,
yeah,
you know, and but I think a lot of it's the same person too.
Oh yeah. 100%. But going back to what you said, saying how like you never bought one, you don't have to because someone's always going to have it and you just need internet, Wi-Fi, and the code. Like, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I guess it also implies too, like, I mean, it's more meant for you to play with friends. And I know, and I never have friends, so I never kind of get it.
Stop it, Will, dude.
You're like, oh, you can find people. I'm like,
yeah.
Nah.
Let me tell you, it helps living with like six other people.
Mm.
Yeah, we fill up a whole party. Just the household.
I can imagine your household is just like that, some Smash Brothers, a Mario Party, yeah. Some a That's grand old it. Time over there.
Mm-hmm.
Nice, nice. Well, also, Kendall, talking about stuff, we have more Epic's doing their Halloween sale. PlayStation's doing a Halloween sale. Epic's doing a Halloween sale. Everybody's doing a Halloween sale. But, you know, Epic gives us free games every week. This week we have Costume Quest 2 and Layers of Fear 2. And I play Layers of Fear 2. I finished it in two, like, stream sessions.
Yeah.
I played it, not as good as the first one.
Okay, I have to ask, yeah, because honestly, I think the first one was so stupid.
Really? Okay. Yeah. You might like, okay, I liked it. It's weird because it's got mixed reviews, and I liked it, but the way they do it is that it's themed that you're, okay, it's seven artists, like the first one's about being an artist and stuff like that, and this one it's like, oh, you're an actor, and it's very film heavy. The thing I do like about it, super obvious film references to The Shining and Metropolis.
Wow.
Yeah, there's all kinds of straight, like, in-your-face film references. So I was like, I appreciate this. There was once or twice where I might have, you know, it might have gotten me once or twice. It was one of those things where I was slightly confusing. And it's one of those things, there's like, kind of like the first game, there's a central hub. So like, as you complete each act or chapter, you'll end up back in a central hub place and do extra things and stuff there. It's one of those games too, where kind of like the first one had like sort of a specific ending to it. And then they had DLC that kind of continued the main story for a little bit. Mm-hmm. This one has multiple different endings. So like, the same thing happens in the main story, but depending on how you play it could determine who you are playing as and what happens from there. And so it tries to get you to be like, oh, replay it this way, or it'll give you several choices for the game where you have to choose this or choose this. And the problem is that it never tells you what these choices are for. Like, one's like, oh, there's this guy that's trying to tell you how to do it that's like the director, and he's like, oh, you should do it this way, or you shouldn't do it this way, but you don't know at the time how this is going to affect anything until you realize after, at the end of the game, it gets you different endings and stuff like that. One of the acts, like, kind of slowed it down, like, that was, you know, it's things with games like that, where it's like, one act is not as good as the other ones are, or certain things like that. Each chapter is different, though, in terms of, like, the setting and the tone is different in every chapter, so I give a prop for that. I mean, I think it's worth playing for free. And it doesn't require you... There's a tiny bit of a connection to the original game, but you can easily play this without needing to play the first game, honestly. Mm-hmm. There's really no reason to. It's its own separate thing. And yeah, it's not super long. You know, I finished it maybe like 6 hours or something like that. And it looks really good. It looks really good, too. And it somehow didn't kill my frame rate, even though Phasmophobia and Genshin Impact do. I don't know why. I recommended that while you could. Also, yeah.
I want to say, though, the first one...
Oh, yeah.
Like, you were saying how, like, the first one had, like, a specific ending and blah, blah, blah. Technically, every time I bring that up to people, they're like, no, what are you talking about? It has multiple endings. I'm like... But does it if, like, the 90% rate is getting that one specific ending? Like,
yeah,
there
because...
are different endings, but, like, your chances of getting a different alternate ending is so slim. It's so small.
Yeah, right? And then, like, and exactly to your point, again, then they came out with that story DLC sequel. And anytime you do that or add content to a story that has multiple endings... just whether it's like a sequel to a movie or something like that, one of those endings is going to become the canon one.
Yeah.
Point, right.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's whatever ending relates to the, you know, and I remember parts of it, but I don't remember all of it. It's been like a year or two.
Mm-hmm. I just remember like there are like rats you can find or notes, and those would like fuck with your ending and stuff.
Yeah. And it's funny, 'cause there is some of that in this game. But yeah, again, it's whatever the DLC came out with, and it goes based off that, you know? So that's mm-hmm. the canon ending. So yeah, it just depends on the game. But again, it's still worth checking out. I mean, this could be one of those things where you like this one better than the first one overall. It's different enough. And yeah, I'd be curious to play. And it's very mannequin heavy. This one's has a lot of mannequins, and it does this thing where it has like weird stop motion animation in the game that's really creepy. So they'll like move like really slow and rigidly sometimes. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, it's another one of those games you'll be staring at a corner and then you'll turn around and then the hallway you went behind just completely disappear and now there's a new doorway or something. It's a lot of that. Where you're like, you turn around and there's a fucking mannequin right there and like, holy banana pancakes. So yeah, but it's worth playing for free. And then also Ghost of Tsushima's new DLC expansion is out now called Legends. It does like promote more of a multiplayer if you're playing with other people. However, at least so far I could play the story solo. I did hear they're coming out with a new, like, final boss, though, where they said you're basically forced to play it with other people to beat it. But so far, I haven't played a lot of it, but it's good. You know, it gives you character classes, so you have, like, the samurai class, the ronin class, the bow, and the stealth. So basically, it takes all the skills that Jin had and separates them out into different characters. And you're just playing through old legends and slicing and all that kinds of stuff, and it's a little bit different too. It gives you episode selections, and then there's like two or three parts per level, and the way you like upgrade your health is not like the way you upgrade's different, the way you gain your health back's different. Like there's these health drums you use instead of you just like healing yourself with your ability. So a lot of the mechanics of it, as far as the fighting and all that's the same, but how other little things work with it is different. Mm. But yeah, it's, so far it's playing great though. I mean, I've heard people enjoy it overall. So it's a free upgrade. So I would check it out if you can. I'm going to try to get back more to it this week, hopefully.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that's a lot of different stuff this past week, weirdly enough. People have been playing.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. But when you got to get to our stories, because there are a few stories a week, couple smaller stories and some bigger ones like every week. Kendall, what's happening this week? Tell us our first topic.
Well, let me tell you, this past week had one of the best moments to happen to Twitch. Two of our congresswomen jumped on Twitch and played Among Us with a couple of really big creators: Pokimane, Dr. Lupo, Disguised Toast, Corpse, just to name a few. They all played Among Us for a very hot, big, awesome stream to really just promote voting. AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and Ilhan Omar. They are awesome feminists. They really just, I don't know, man. There's something about them that just shows empowerment, you know?
Yeah, they appeal to the younger generations.
To the younger generation, yeah. They played Among Us, and most of the stream, they just promoted voting early. What is your voting plan? Is this your first year voting? They really talked more about the younger generation voting, because I feel like on Twitch is definitely a younger generation. And you kind of just have to inform people that, like, you're of age, you should have a good handle on politics, because politics is, like, you know, part of life, unfortunately. Mm. And it was honestly so fun to watch. She generated over 400,000 viewers. And the streamers playing with her landed their most views on stream by far, because they were all playing with AOC. And it was really funny because she like never wanted to be the imposter, and every time she was the imposter, she would literally scream no. She would just be in distress and it's like, no, I don't want to be imposter. And like she wasn't that good at it, but it was really funny because sometimes when she would kill someone, they would just like walk by the body and pretend they didn't see it just to help her out, which I thought was hilarious. And then she even made it a point where when you're voting for someone to get kicked out of the spaceship, she would make it a point to say, I'm voting early, which I find hilarious because like the whole stream was about what is your voting plan and that you should vote early if you can.
Mm-hmm.
But I just thought it was a, like such a momentous moment for Twitch and just the gaming community, because also a lot of people deemed this stream as like a way to show that politicians are just also normal people. Like, literally the entire time, she is just like you and me. She's a regular person having fun, also going through the quarantine. She just happens to have, like, a nation on her shoulders, too. You know, a generation to lead.
Yeah. How much of the stream did you watch?
I watched, I would say maybe half of it, like, I was, like, in and out for half of it, and then I, like, religiously watched for the other half.
Okay. Yeah, I watched the first, like, half hour, 40 minutes of it, I think. As they were saying, it was really funny. Like, she was like, I hope it'll get imposter. First game gets imposter.
First game gets imposter, and she was like, and, no!
You know, and when you get it, you know, Pokey's gotta go, you know, just...
Oh my god, that was so funny. Out
quick.
There was also a part in there where both Ocasio-Cortez and Omar got imposter, and it was so funny because, of course, the two congresswomen are playing against top gamers. Like,
oh my gosh, that's great. You know, so and that's the whole thing, like, politicians lie in a game that's based around you having to lie sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting. And yeah, I mean, I thought she was pretty good.
Yeah, for sure. It didn't sound like this was her first time playing.
Yeah, I think she only says she played it, I think, the night before for a little bit to get used to it.
Yeah, just but apparently to she's understand.
She likes League, from what I've heard, I guess.
Yeah, she's been playing a lot of League. Mm-hmm.
And again, it's, you know, it's, yeah, that was a lot of viewers. That's a lot of viewers that she got.
Oh my god, insane. Also, the record on Twitch for the most concurrent viewers is just over 600,000. So she was literally only 200,000 away for her first stream.
Mm. Yeah, I feel like, you know, maybe down the road she'll politically move up in the ranks and stuff like that, and she might do all right, you know? And it's weird, too, because, again, it's like she's a year older than me, so this is the first time, too, where it's like, I'm getting to that age where it's like, oh, all these politicians, like, this is the first time of having politicians that are around my age, you know, which is something I never had in my life before.
Yeah, but she was also one of the youngest congresswomen, or one of the youngest women to be in Congress, so she's already, like, ahead of her career.
Yeah, and I think I remember watching that documentary she had, what was it, on Netflix, I think?
Yeah.
A while ago or whatever, and yeah, she seems pretty cool, pretty all right, pretty hip and happening.
Yeah, she just understands that, like, we're regular people. She's a regular person. So who's a better person to represent regular people, you know?
Yeah, you know. And, I mean, they had to, like, earlier in the week, Biden had a thing in Animal Crossing, and some people were whining and complaining about the way that was done. But,
oh,
you know.
His island, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know.
Yeah, and then some people were saying how, like, it's like, he doesn't need an island there. I'm just like, well, some people love Animal Crossing, some people want to learn. Just let them go on the island if they want to. You know, it's not like they're forced to go on the island.
Right, and it's more, it's like, you know, that's his campaign. That I guess in a way you could say it's like, oh, at least people involved with his campaign kind of get, with, you know, they're kind of with the times also, kind of like AOC is. They understand more of the younger crowd. Because, I mean, you know, I'm sure Biden did not spend any time playing Animal Crossing. And, you know.
Probably it was definitely someone else. He totally hasn't even touched the Switch, I bet.
He's like, sure, or whatever. But the fact that he's, like, open to it, and he's like, why not, or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Things like that. But yeah, you're starting, this is the first time, too, you've started seeing them pop up on Twitch and things like that. And I think that's, you know, that might be a future thing now, where you see more politicians be involved in, like, streams and stuff like that, you know, whether we like it or not. But I guess the more stories is go vote. Make sure you vote.
Yes. Vote early. If you can.
I'm still waiting for, I signed a form that I had to confirm that.
Oh, that you lived in California and stuff?
Yeah.
Same. I had to sign a thing, and then because they were like, the DMV doesn't have your signature. And I was like, fucking how?
Yeah. And I still haven't really made that trip there yet. And they were like, I was like, how can I do this? Since I was last registered in Maryland. And they're like, if you do this, and I didn't have the printer at the time. I've gotten printer since then, but they're like, all right, we'll mail you this form, find a signature. Yep. And I signed it, I mailed it back.
Yep.
And I don't know what happens now. I don't know if they're going to send me a ballot or send me an email saying you're good, go somewhere. I don't know.
From experience, all they do is send you a ballot. You don't even know. You won't know if they got it until you send. It's either you get the ballot or you don't.
Okay. Yeah, because my roommate got his a couple weeks ago. He was been in and out of that.
Yeah, same with some of my roommates.
Yeah, and there's places nearby, too. Like, I know 100 Thieves is doing it. Universal's doing it.
So vote early. What's your voting plan, guys?
As long as you vote. But to move away for some voting stuff, we're going to talk a little bit. Some quick, short, interesting stories. First off, and this is a little bit of a thing, we're going to talk about a little bit of Nintendo stuff real fast.
Woo!
Fire Emblem. Shadow Dragon and Blade of Light, which is the first ever game in the Fire Emblem franchise, is coming to the U.S. for the first time on
Crazy.
The Switch. It's coming in December. It was came out in 1990. yeah, and it's finally being localized. And I know, I've never been too much into tactics games. The only tactic game I really liked that I played a good amount was Final Fantasy Tactics. But I know people love that Fire Emblem. They really like it. So it's good news that they have this and that's coming out. They have a special edition. Dude, the special edition looks dope. They have original NES cartridge and a box and everything that you can have for display and a Nintendo Power poster. It's pretty dope. So that's a cool little thing that they just kind of dropped on people. I'm trying to remember too, because I know people are like, oh, how limited of a time is this thing going to be? Because that's a new joke now with All Stars. and it's going to be available only until March 31st. So the two big things that, and you would think, oh, Fire Emblem fans are rating Raven and saying, oh, yay, and all that. But no, Kendall, that's not the world we live in. We live in 2020, where things that don't make sense do make sense. And that's not the thing. Even Fire Emblem fans, that's not the big story out of this. For all these fans, these Fire Emblem fans, regular fans and all that, the big story that comes out of this, the two reactions are, one, the first reaction is, what's with every Nintendo game now being released until March? Quarter fiscal year. Why March?
Is something happening in March that I don't know about? Is it an anniversary or maybe someone's birthday?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's all these are anniversaries, like Mario and all that. And then, of course, that leads people's question, what are you going to do about Zelda? Is that going to be a timed collection release also?
Come out in March?
I don't know, but it's going to come out. Well, the 30th anniversary is next year. So they're going to do something. They're going to do something next year for it. So, but
they're
going
to wait all the way to 2022 just for March.
Yeah, and exactly. And then I guess the main reason is because it's the end of the fiscal year, but still people are like, why are they doing this now? And why are they doing it with games that people really want? Why, when they could be making more money? And Nintendo's Nintendo and does weird crap all the time. But, that's the big thing people are talking about. And then the second biggest thing, again, it's not the fact that this game's been announced. I mean, that's an exciting thing. But even I said, the two bigger stories in this game existing are one's the time to the marginal fiscal year, and then the second one, what about Earthbound 3, though? What about Earthbound 3, though? Well, they gotta change Earthbound 3, though, because there's things in that that need to change because it wouldn't work in Nintendo's infrastructure. But what about Earthbound 3, though? So that's the two biggest stories out of this story. So the two main stories out of the story isn't even the main story. Because that's the world we live in the internet and gamers. Yeah.
Do you know what I think is funny?
Mm-hmm.
That we've got characters from Fire Emblem in Smash Bros. Before we had the original game here in the West. I think that's hilarious.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's still hilarious we're getting a Minecraft Steve with his ding-dong sticking out before we get Wario as a main character.
They finally fixed the Minecraft ding-dong.
Waluigi, main character. I'm sure they did, right? Because
they had to. Like, we were talking too much about how it's looking too much like, you know, a little penis.
Yeah, they finally fixed it, though. Yeah, I saw, what was it? Somebody was saying that, like, apparently Phil Spencer, like, somebody posted a retweet. I don't know if you saw that. I can't remember who tweeted it, but they were saying how they interviewed Phil Spencer, and Phil Spencer had no idea about his reactions. Like, well, somebody's gonna fix that, I guess.
I know, yeah. I was just like, well, it's already happening, so
yeah.
Someone fix it.
Another Nintendo-related news, and it's a little bit more specific, but if you're a Nintendo person, the Switch Joy-Con controller has gone down in price. So if you want to get a single Switch Joy-Con controller now, it's now $10 cheaper. Went down to $40. Now, it's been $50 since the console launch, but it's gone down. And if you still get a pair of Joy-Cons together, it's still $80. So you're not really saving anything that way anymore. But it just makes you wonder, it's like, why now they're doing this? And then you know, there's big rumors of the Pro coming next year and, you know, things like that. It's a very interesting choice of what they're doing, of throwing it down price. Because, you know, Nintendo, whether it's games peripherals, they rarely ever make things go down in price. And if they do, it's only temporary. But this seems to be permanent.
Yeah, I have a theory that, I have a few theories. One, it could just be quarantine. You know, they could be looking to help people save money, or like they know people's money is tight, so they're trying to still get sales, you know, just by dropping the price a bit. Or that they're just trying to sell out their stock because they have new things coming. Usually when they go down in price, it's because something's coming and they just, you know, got to get rid of it before they can launch something else.
Yeah, I still think, like, if I, you know, if I get myself stable and all that again, I haven't gotten a Switch yet, but I'm thinking when that Pro comes out, maybe think about it. But yeah, that is interesting. I think both those are valid theories. I think you might be right. I think it has to do with them just like, oh, we're gonna have the Pro, and the Pro Joy-Cons are gonna be a little bit different, so let's get those out there while we can. Because apparently, from what I've heard too, like, usually people that have Switches have at least bought like a secondary one of each, because like apparently I guess the analogs run out fairly quick or not as stable, or the drift, that's what it was.
Yes,
I kept hearing it drifts.
So maybe they are just trying to run out of the stock so that they can start selling ones that are fixed, you know. Interesting. What an interesting theory.
Yeah No, it's very interesting.
Get these botched controllers that drift for 40. $10 less. We're not going to tell you why it's $10 less, but it's because of that drift.
And then moving from Nintendo News to some Xbox-related news. Gears 5, which is a game that's been out for a minute. It's had some multiplayer updates and stuff like that. I played it on Game Pass. Now, it might be slightly tempted to play it again. I really liked it. It was like the first open world game of the franchise and all that. But it's coming with New Game Plus and like an updated campaign. It has new difficulty modes, character stins, mutations, and stuff like that. But one of the big things that's hyping it up is that you'll be able, you know, in the past we've had it where, you know, there's always been a thing for a long time. They ever made a Gears movie. Batista, my homeboy Dave Batista would be a good fan casting choice to play Marcus in a Gears of War movie if it ever happened. Of course, it's never happened or anything like that, but what he did as a fun little thing was meet him like as a side character that you could play in a multiplayer when they released the game shortly thereafter. Now they've even gone further with that, fulfilling the fan dream by having Pisa doing more work on the game, and in fact, doing a full run-through of the campaign as Marcus Fenix. So now, not only can you play the Batista's Marcus Fenix in multiplayer, but you can actually replay through the whole game, and if instead of having a traditional Marcus Fenix, you can be hanging out with Dave Batista.
I think it's a good trade, because you know we're never going to get a movie.
Yeah. If they ever did, Batista's going to be too old to do it, probably.
Exactly. So I think this is definitely a good trade, since this is what everyone wanted, and it's an easy thing to do, and it'll get people to replay the game, like, buy it, and, you know, have fun with it.
Yeah, and it's, like, visual upgrade, and the main reason for this, too, is to upgrade the new consoles. Or, like, for Xbox Series, that's the main reason. But I'm assuming it's coming to PC also. But, yeah, and even then, like, he recorded lines for it, so it's going to be his voice and all that. And it's just a fun little extra thing. And I'm slightly tempted to go back and replay it just to hang out with Batista again.
Yeah, it's a good marketing strategy. 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And it's just weird, right? Because the game came out, like, a while ago. Mm-hmm. So, it's, you know, it's coming out November 10th, right when it launches. That's really cool. I like the Gears franchise. I used to play when I had 360, and then when I moved on to PlayStation, you know, I couldn't play it, but now thanks to Game Pass, I was able to catch up, I would love to replay the first three. You can play the first one over again, but not two and three, but I would like to replay those, but at least I was able to play 4 and 5 the first time, and, it was fun to go back. It had been a long time, and I really enjoyed it. And then also, and this is like a small thing, but you know me, you guys know how I am. I just have to know it. Apparently, they finally have arrived. You know, a while ago, we had Xboxes come in and stuff like that. But they've been, since Xbox is continuing releasing stuff up in their marketing, because, you know, a while ago, people got their Xboxes, they tested out, give quick reviews and stuff like that, get a head game in front of Sony. Well, Xbox, on top of that, decided, hey, we're gonna up a step further and we're gonna start giving out fridges now.
Yeah.
And so some of the bigger names and stuff like Snoop Dogg and all that got actual Xbox fridges. It's got like the little thing up in the corner. It looks like the new console. You open it up, there's a green light in the background. And right around the same time, Sony's like, it is time, and now has finally given out PlayStation 5 to the media and press. It's finally out. It's one of those things where, you know, even the media and press didn't know if they were going to get the console, like, the day before or the day of, because, you know, Sony is a very stringent and stuff about that. But they have released it. So far, people have only been able to talk about the box.
Yep.
And that's it. But that's it. From what I've heard,
people have it.
Yeah, but from what I've heard, at least when I was, like, watching Kind of Funny talk about, Greg Miller was hinting at that, like, in the next coming weeks, they're going to hardcore ramp up the coverage, and we'll actually get impression experiences and stuff like that on it. But people are getting left to right, and, you know, it's tough, Kendall, because I'm in a tough spot right now where I might have to cancel my pre-order, and seeing them have that PS5, I'm like, oh, it's almost here, you know, and things like that.
You just got to somehow budget. Just budget till your heart is set on what you want, which is this.
Oh, no, don't say that to me. or we do well in our podcasting where we can get machines and equipment like this to test, yes, and give our opinions.
Yes.
Right? That's a way to budget, is when we don't have to pay for it as part of our job.
Yes. Xbox, send us your fridge.
Send us your fridge. Yes. We'll put it in our office that doesn't exist yet.
Yes, but I do hope you can change the color of that light inside the fridge, because, like, I don't want to look inside a fridge and just look at everything coated with green. Like,
what other color do you want, though? They're not going to put blue in it.
A plain, nice, fluorescent light, you know?
Just a regular...
Just a regular light bulb. Because
you're like, you can put that light in that little Xbox logo. You can put the light in the whole dang on fridge.
Like, yeah, just, why? I don't want to open the fridge and just, like, have green blasted at me. It's going to feel like I'm going to be, like, transported to a different planet and getting abducted by aliens or something.
I feel, yeah. But no, that's kind of cool. I was like, what the fudge is going on here? Also, official, we briefly mentioned this, Travis Scott is now official member of the PlayStation community right now.
Congrats, Travis Scott. Congrats to you.
I mean, I would have rather somebody like me have it, but you know what? Why not?
Why not? Oh, I feel fine. That. Yeah. Excuse me. Wilden and I are obviously the most optimal people for that instead of Travis Scott. What does Travis Scott have to offer besides fame and his name?
Yeah, and a $6 meal or whatever, if that's still
going on. And a $6 meal at McDonald's.
That commercial cracks me up. And then a couple more quick ones, Kendall. A few more quick ones. Some studio updates related to games. One being Kojima pretty much hinted that, yes, he's working on his next game right now. We don't know what it is, but he's mentioned everybody pretty much is, I think, pretty certain at this point it's going to be a horror game. Whether it is that Silent Hill game he wanted to do that he wasn't allowed to do, or something else. We know he's been watching horror movies and stuff like that, and his studio is currently hiring.
Ooh.
For to work out Tokyo Studio. So yeah, they're working on it. It's working on. And on top of that, speaking of other studios working on stuff, apparently it seems that too, that Sucker Punch is not gonna, it's the infamous, it's gonna wait a little longer because it seems like it's jumping on board already. Or maybe possibly working on the sequel to Ghost of Tsushima. Now, ooh. I would say this may seem a little soon, but think about it this way. Like, how long ago God of War was, and then we got an announcement God of War Ragnarok is coming. Apparently, they started working after the first game came out. And apparently, that game's coming in, not confirmed, but it seems like maybe February. Way earlier than even we expected. So if that ends up being true, then it's not unreasonable anymore in this world we're in now to think that they're immediately working on a Ghost of Tsushima sequel.
Yeah, I feel like they had both of them in development close to the same time and they knew it'd be successful. And they might be releasing it early. Who really knows what's going on?
Yeah, but again, it's
the studios, but like it is really soon. But also, it was such a successful game.
Yeah, so. And again, they're looking for people. That's like the biggest key indicator. So we always see studios looking for people. That's when you know something's happening, right?
Yes, yes.
Yes. And then last little thing, Kendall, we were talking about this earlier. So, just in case you all didn't know, Atari is actually making hotels. Yes, Atari. You're like, wait a minute, Atari, really? Are they relevant anymore? Do people even know who they are, what they do? I don't know. It's kind of odd, too, in this day and age of people would know who Atari is, especially these streamers and influencers. But old school people like me know what it is. And they're making a hotel, actually a couple hotels, as Vegas and I think Arizona, and they might spread out. Concept art has been released for it of what they want it to look like. And it's pretty dope. Cyberpunky.
Ooh, it looks so good. I think the design is great because if you remember like what old Atari little boxes look like, it honestly it looks like little tiny cassette tape players, you know what I mean? So like a little joystick and stuff, and this hotel looks exactly like that but modern and cool and cyber.
I mean, it looks cool, kind of. Again, it's weird, it's Atari doing it because it's like you're gonna have all these influencers be like, oh, we're going to Atari hotel, then they're gonna have all these games displayed, and I can guarantee you most of them never even played any one of those games in their lifetime. I mean, it's weird because it's just like, again, it's like, what relevance does Atari have now in this day and age? Because nobody talks about them much anymore. I'm happy about it, but I feel like, you know, I'm like, if anybody would have gotten into like the hotel thing, it would have been like Xbox hotel or PlayStation hotel over Atari at any day of the week. But now I want those hotels too.
We do have like a few Nintendo worlds popping up around the globe.
We have
Nintendo Central, and you know they're making their own little towns in Japan and whatnot. But I think it's great to like kind of have a secondary place that is game like focused. And for it to be Atari is like almost a smart move, because it brings back like the whole nostalgic element of gaming.
Yeah, I think it's a good way to teach this Gen Z generation about what Atari was and what the games were if they didn't know. It's a good like educational tool, I think.
Yeah, plus I think it just looks so good. I think it's a great idea. Exactly what you said, all these creators, all these influencers are going to start booking here. They could probably have conventions here or events here, because if you look at these pictures, they have like the main hotel portion, and then they have a side portion that looks like is a bunch of restaurants and like arcades, or who really knows what this is, but it looks like both inside, outside. Maybe there's like a glass ceiling, or maybe that's completely open with just like a nice overhead. Who really knows? Who really knows if it's going to look like this at the very end? But it's a great concept.
And you know what, Kendall? That's a good point. I mean, I don't know if it can necessarily have, because there's a convention center there, but you have a fair point. Like, I can imagine, you know, CES is usually in Vegas, and they always have it at the convention center, but I can imagine CES and all the people who attend CES being at the Atari Hotel, and that's where, like, some of the after parties are or whatever.
Yes, yes, yeah. Yes. I can definitely see after parties being in this hotel, or just, like, just, I don't know, get gatherings in that little plaza that they have showed us in their concept art.
Yeah. Well, Kendall, if we shift gears and kick rears pretty soon, we might be able to be okay enough by the time this thing opens to go in and give you all our own experiences of it.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have press passes. We got time. 100%. We're going to have creator passes, and we're going to be like, oh, my God, we're here, guys. This is so fun. You guys should be here with us. If you guys want to do a meetup, meet us at this giant robot in front of the bowling ball arcade right next to Travis Scott's McDonald's.
That's, yeah, yes, Travis Scott's McDonald's. Yep. Yo, I mean, exactly. And then, like, can you imagine, we can do a whole thing for maybe we could do like a Patreon exclusive video. Oh, spoilers on, you know, our trip. We could do like a Vegas, like weekday or week trip. We could be like the cool influencers now to go and have parties at all these hotels, 10 stories up or whatever. And we can have a whole trip. I've been looking for a reason to go back.
Yeah. And you just reminded me that it's in Vegas, which means there has to be a casino in this plaza.
Oh, that's true, though.
I didn't even think about that. The one in Vegas has to be casino-based.
And they're all, and it's Atari-themed casino. It could be like a Space Invaders, because there's some of those already. You have all these classic Atari game-themed things.
Yeah.
I was just wondering, like, what if they had something with the E.T. game? Would they do that?
Oh, my God.
Would they have the balls to do that? I don't know.
I don't. Oh my God, man! Can you imagine? How would the, I don't even know.
Kendall, you're hyping me up too much. We gotta get off this topic quick. You're giving me too many hopes and dreams in the wrong time. This is too much.
Oh my God, I'm actually too much.
So Kendall, how about instead you crush people's hopes and dreams and go the opposite way and talk about the DMCA and Twitch and what's going on with that? I need some. You know, knockdown, not hype. I need opposite of what you're giving me.
All right. So we've been talking about this DMCA for quite a long time. If you guys don't know what that is, that's Digital Millennium Copyright Act, which is basically just provisions to protect copyrighted material on certain platforms from, you know, infringement and stuff like that. We heard about the big, big news first with Twitch Syncs. They, you know, took it away. Or it's going away. Its last few months is currently happening. So sad. And they also told us that if we have any VODs or clips with music in it that is, you know, copyrighted, you should probably take them down. Or else you're going to get a warning. After that warning, you're going to get not banned. What's the opposite? What's when you're only gone for suspended, that's the word I'm looking for. You're gonna get suspended, and then you can probably just get banned. A lot of people took that seriously. They started deleting all their VODs, started deleting all their clips. But others were like, I'm never going to get hit by this DMCA. Like, it's not going to happen to me. Well, this past week, a lot of streamers got a DMCA takedown request email, which means they have something, some type of music in their stream. And they don't tell you what VOD. They don't tell you what clip. They just tell you that your page is in violation and of this act, and you just got to do something about it. They were all warnings, of course. A lot of streamers started freaking out, and a lot of streamers started deleting all their VODs. A lot of them are being smart about it. They are downloading their VODs. They're putting them on YouTube, and they're just not going to get that monetized, but, you know, it's still, you know, you can go back and watch their past clips. And that's, I don't know, man. I think it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of nuts. And Twitch is, I don't know if you've got, if you've gotten the email or the thing about this, because I have it, but Twitch is rolling out this thing as like a way to counter that, sort yes. of. I've gotten like, I'm like, I did this. Why? I've gotten like three or four emails on last week. I'm like, but Ari, why are you sending me the same email three times? I got it. I'm good. You didn't, with the watch parties, you didn't send me three or four of these things. I got it. You know, you know, I got it. Why are you sending me more things about it? Just in case if you have it, I'm like, I got it.
But you are absolutely right. Twitch is trying to counteract this by creating Soundtrack by Twitch, which is basically a feature that is implemented directly into the app. It's basically music you can use that is approved. And also, it's not just like EDM and like non-copyright to like, you know, like, you know, most of that stuff is like EDM based. Mm-hmm. They actually are partnering with some creators, with some artists, so that they can get their music on Twitch, which I think is actually a really good partnership. You can sign up for the beta right now.
Yeah, if you have, I'm sure you've gotten an email or two or three about it. So, and I don't know, because I've been using it. I got it and I've been using it. And what the other important thing, Kendall, note too, is yes, exactly. Everything you said is totally true. But the other important feature of how it works is that it has it built in. So supposedly, any game or anything you're playing in that has copyright music, the app itself is supposed to take out or delete that sound from your VODs and stuff like that, so you don't have to worry about it.
Yes, which is insane to me, because if it's part of like a game you're playing or a video you're watching, that's part of the content, you know? I don't know. That's crazy to me.
Yeah, but I mean, if it's you know, they're testing, you know, it and stuff like that now, and I mean, I, for the most part, it's working pretty all right. You know, you have to get certain stuff updated and all that, and they have some other stuff there that, you know, we're not going to talk about here because they don't want other stuff talked about yet. But there's a beta thing for it, and you can tell it tells you like. It's weird. You have like a couple different tracks, you know, you have like an extra track in there, and then it'll tell you if it's working or not, if it's blocking it. But if you like you run the soundtrack, it shouldn't be working. I'll let you just play it. And there's and as you can see, like there's certain streamers that have their own playlists on there already that you can use to play and things like that. It's still a more simple version, but I think if it starts working out right, it can ramp up to something pretty good. I mean, it's better for me than using, you know, I used Presto for a bit and it worked and it was fine, but I think this is a little bit better for me to use.
Yeah, I get you.
Mm-hmm. And then also, it's, I don't know, this whole thing's a mess. It was just mass. All of a sudden, everybody just went boom, 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 boom. Getting all these emails.
And a lot of people got it like right in the middle of their stream too. I think it's kind of insane that they decided to do a mass email. You know, like, instead of just, like, trying to get people who, like, got striked, send it to them individually when the moment happens or, like, when they find out, they instead just held it off and just created, like, generated a list of streamers that they're going to send this email to. It's like, what?
I mean, this is one of the few times I'll ever say that I'm glad I'm not as big of a streamer yet as I should be right now, because I have a good handful of clips, but compared to the bigger streamers, they get clipped all the time. I can't even imagine having to go through all that.
But also, I want to move this along. Speaking of using content that, you know, you're not sure if you are or not allowed to use, we got to talk about Alex Hutchinson. Alex Hutchinson is the creative director of Stadia. He's also a game developer. You mostly know him from Ubisoft's like work with Assassin's Creed and whatnot. He made this tweet just a few days ago, and he said, this is quote, "The real truth is the streamers should be paying the developers and publishers of the games they stream. They should be buying a license like any real business and paying for the content they use." End quote. That is similar to like YouTube. Like if you want to use a song on YouTube, you got to pay for it, you know? But like to like, I don't know. That's just like such a strong opinion that no one agrees with.
I mean, I kind of get where he's coming from.
Oh, I get
where he's coming from. But it does sound a little like, you know, like a little bitter much Stadia, you know? Like they're so mad, especially now with this Amazon thing that got announced. Like they know like this they're going down fast. And they're just frustration. You can read the frustration in that tweet.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It's funny because like when you stream a game, you bought the game, you know, and you have the right to do what you want with it. But if something like this takes off, then like that could be an end to streaming video games.
Yeah, I don't think it's good. I mean, and just because it's him and he's working with Stadia, which is not an the gamer's eyes not reputable, I guess. Like, it's hard, I think, for gamers to take that seriously of what he's saying. You know, it's not Phil Spencer saying it or something like that. It's, you know, and he's got, you know, he's, like, been in the industry for a while, you know, and then he's, like, I'm not saying him as a person isn't reputable, but again, it's, like, in the eyes of gamers, Stadia's almost kind of, like, a joke, and it's just, like, it's hard not to kind of laugh it off. Be like, ah, come on, man. Like, really? Mm-hmm. Sort of thing.
Yeah. I mean, this could be something as simple as, like, paying for a license. That might as well be a dollar for all we know. You know, this is not something that is in development. Maybe it is somewhere, but, like, hopefully it's not. It's just,
you know,
like,
and then people are like, oh, but we're promoting your game to help you get more numbers and stuff like that is the argument, right?
It also comes down to the whole, like, you're paying for exposure and no one wants to be paid with exposure, you know?
Yeah.
But also when you buy something, there is a claim that's like when you purchase a product, you agree that you're purchasing a license to use said product. But I guess that also doesn't mean that you can share said product, but is it because streaming is becoming such a huge phenomenon that people are like raking in like, you know, like seven figures? Is that where his frustration's coming from? Six, seven figures?
I don't know, right? Because I think part of it's too, well, it would be weird. It's weird because, you know, with things like Game Pass and all that, you know, you're paying like $5 or $15 a month for all these games, right? So I guess it could be like, well, if that's going to be so much cheaper, then people can afford to do this because they're only paying this much of a month. That's like the least they could do, I guess. But then again, if not, the price of games going up to 70, which is like more expensive. And, you know, again, it's like the argument back in the day, right? It's like, oh, back in the day, we, you know, you borrowed your friend's games or whatever. Technically, you know, legally, you know, when you buy the game, it's intended for you. You shouldn't be sharing the game. But we all physically shared the games back in the day. That's what we did. But technically, in the legal sense, we're not really supposed to. And then it's like, but they're not going to go and hit all every single person that ever did that. There's no way. Right? So it's like, Especially if a game's free.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Especially if a game's free. What happens with that, you know?
What happens with Kickstarter games? Yeah. Or, you know?
I don't know. I do know that there are some studios who allow you to freely monetize your use of the game, which, you know, is something they added because of Twitch, because of YouTube, Facebook Gaming, Mixer, and whatnot. Not all studios have done this. I guess maybe we should start looking at the fine print or something.
Well, again, too, and the other thing, Kendall, is just like, I mean, Amazon's going to be doing this too, but again, like, I hate to bring up Game Pass, but you kind of got to with these streams of services. Like, Game Pass, you pay a monthly fee, yes, and they're giving you all these games, whereas Stadia, you're paying them the monthly fee for the service, but then also buying the game on top of it.
Yeah. That's why I still think it's a money factor. Like, I feel like he wouldn't have said this comment if streamers and YouTubers were only making, like, you know, like four figures, three figures, you know, but it's the fact that we have some big people getting in the 100,000s, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a...
I think it's a money thing.
I see where he's coming from, but...
I definitely see where he's coming from. It just sounds more petty than usual.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Just sounds bitter. I'm like, would he have come out and said this if Stadia was doing really well?
Yes.
Or would he have kept that opinion to himself?
Who knows, man?
Who knows? But all I know is, Kendall, we should get into our last little topic here, because I think it's interesting. We're talking about Uncharted movie has got images, Kendall. We finally have our first look at Nathan Drake and Sully. Kendall, what do you think about these images?
Yes, I think Tom Holland looks so good. Yes, yes, yes. Oh my God. Tom Holland is definitely such a good pick for a young Nathan Drake. A lot of people said they wanted a 5 o'clock shadow on him, but then it's like, is this a young Nathan Drake, or are you trying to make Tom Holland an older Nathan Drake with a 5 o'clock shadow? Like, it's,
I mean, it is weird because he's got the Uncharted 3 outfit, but it's supposed to be a younger Nathan Drake.
He does have the Uncharted 3 outfit, but also I personally think it's because maybe this outfit just works better for the film, you know?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I mean, and then we have that, right? And we have our first look at Sully, which is an interesting look. I know people were memeing it because he looks like Freddie Mercury a little bit.
I was about to say that. No one likes it. No one likes Mark Wahlberg as Sully. No one. Except for Mark Wahlberg fans.
But I guess the thing you have to accept, though, is the fact that you're either going to get him as Sully or you don't get this movie at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
He produced it. He kept on board this whole time. He's the one that's giving up the money to make sure this gets made. So
it's so true. So might as well put yourself in the movie.
Yeah, you know, and it might not be the Sully that we know and love, but it might be fun. You get there a little bit of jab in there and stuff. And also too, Kendall, we saw Nathan Drake met Nathan Drake, you know.
Yes.
Real Nathan Drake met Nathan Drake. Not Nathan, Nathan Drake. That's other Nathan Drake, but
Nolan North tweeted also a few of other photos on set, one of them being a set with, I don't even know what it is, like a key, a sword, who really knows, and also a book which was part of the game franchise, and a picture of him with Tom Holland. It's a little blurry, you can tell it was a very candid photo, but I guess it was good enough for him to post on Twitter. He says he's proud of Tom Holland and he thinks it's amazing that this is happening, so.
And that's interesting, too, because him and Troy have talked in Bass on Retro Replay and stuff, how it seemed like they weren't on board with the movie all that much.
Yeah.
So it's interesting now that he's kind of turning it around, that he's seen it, it's like, okay, then, I mean, how about you? Somebody else pointed this out, apparently, too. I don't know if you noticed this, that the shirt he's wearing is one of the original shirt designs for Nathan Drake. Like, when he first made the character.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, so I think the theory right now is he's going to cameo in the movie.
Which is why he's wearing that shirt. No way! We should.
I mean, if you're having him visit the set and all that, like...
Yeah. Why is he on the set? Just for fun? I don't think so. He's
wearing that original Nathan Drake shirt just out of the blue for no reason. I don't think, I mean, Nolan North's cool and he's older, but I don't even think he's that coordinated to wear that shirt, you know? Like, down to that.
Oh, man, yeah.
So, yeah. So
exciting. I mean, I'm into it for sure.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what goes as the fact it's finally been made and they've like made it, you know, again, it's one of those things it's like we've heard about for years and years and years and years. And the fact it's finally happening, I still won't believe it till I actually see the damn thing, but yep. We finally got there.
Mm-hmm.
And we know it's pretty much, I think, mostly wrapped because they just started Spider-Man recently, so, or it's getting close. But yeah, on that note, Kendall, though, that's a, you know, end a more positive note and all that for our episode this week. Again, that wraps it up. Who knows what's going to happen next week? It's 2020. Everything's going to craziness and all that. We may have more guests and all that down the road and things of that sort. Yeah. But in the meantime, guys, be sure to check out the podcast. We're on a bunch of streaming services. We're on Spotify. We're on YouTube. We're on Stitcher. We're on iHeartRadio. Spread the word. Tell people about the podcast. Subscribe. Hit like. Give us feedback if there's something that you like or don't like. You also, as well, you can follow me on Twitch and Instagram at Wilden1990 and Twitter at Wilden. That's WILLDEN. Kendall, where can people find you?
People can find me on Twitch, Twitter, and Instagram at Lady Kendall. That's LadyKen. DOLL. Here's a little fun fact for you. The middle of my name spelled DYKE, if you know what that spells. And sometimes I can't use my username because they say it's inappropriate. So,
really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. I hate it so much.
I don't even want to know where that came from originally, but man, that just, you know, sometimes we just. We don't have the right look of the draw, you know?
Oh, so sad. I gotta change my name somehow.
Yeah, no, I feel. And on that note, guys, we'll wrap up this week's episode, and we'll see you guys all next week in the big one. And as usual, we're gonna wrap it up with our final farewell and go, bye!